Energy Singularity, the Event Horizon Podcast, a podcast where energy blockchain visionaries discuss the future of energy. When it comes to blockchain technology in the energy sector, you may be a big believer or you may be a bit of a skeptic, but you have to admit it's been changing the conversation for the past few years. In the run-up to Event Horizon, join me, Kevin O'Donovan, as I chat with some of the world's leading visionaries to take a realistic view as to what's really going on. In episode one, Reality Bites, Blockchain and the Energy Industry, we're going to take a look back at the hype we lived through in the past 24 months and take a realistic look at the state of blockchain in the energy industry today, and what can we expect in the next year or so. Joining me to discuss these topics are Marzia Zafar, Director of Innovation and Issues Monitor at the World Energy Council, and Scott Clavena at Green Tech Media and Wood Mackenzie Power and Renewables. Welcome, folks.
Thank you.
Hey, Kevin.
Marzia, for people who may not know you, can you do a quick introduction?
My name is Marzia Zafar. I am the Director of Innovation and Issues Monitor for the World Energy Council, headquartered in London. The Council is an NGO. We are a member-based organization with 90-plus member countries around the world, over 20 corporate partners, and a network of 3,000 energy-related organizations across the globe. Prior to joining the Council, I've been here for about a year. I worked in the energy sector in California for about 20 years, 10 years with Sempra Energy, and 10 years as Director of Policy and Planning Division for the California Public Utilities Commission.
And Scott?
Scott Clavena. I'm the Chairman of Green Tech Media and Wood Mackenzie Power and Renewables. I was a co-founder and the CEO of Green Tech Media and brought that up for 10 years, and providing news and industry research and conferences in the whole clean energy ecosystem. And then we were acquired by Wood Mackenzie in 2016. And so since then, been part of their plan and in their process to build a more global renewable energy analysis and information services company. And, blockchain's been one of the things that I came upon in 2016, I think. So it's been a few years. Got a first look at it in MIT, and then have been spending some time looking at how it can or can't sort of take part in the energy transition.
The hype around blockchain's potential to disrupt the energy industry over the past 24 months has been impressive, to say the least. There are people who firmly believe that blockchain is the answer to every challenge and opportunity, from enabling the decentralization of the energy system, enabling the democratization of energy via peer-to-peer energy markets, reducing the cost of energy trading, and the list goes on and on. On the other side, we have a few people looking at blockchain as just another technology hype cycle, seeing it as an unproven and immature technology today. And there are a few out there taking a very cynical view that it's all a bit of a scam, simply to raise money via an initial coin offering. Now, thankfully, most of the hype has died down, and a good dose of reality has set in. Marzia, the World Energy Council conducted a survey with global leaders to assess the state of blockchain in the energy industry. So what did you find out?
Broadly speaking, it's too early, it's too hyped up, and there's too much potential. Let me go in a little more detail on that. So in 2018, we interviewed about 40 different companies from across the world. Basically, companies with new business models, traditional oil and gas companies, regulators, utilities, any decision maker in the energy sector involved in blockchain. We asked them a series of questions, and two of the key questions that we posed were, how far along is blockchain in the energy sector? And then the second question is regulation and customer engagement, are these two impediments to its progress? What we learned from these interviews was that blockchain is an enabling technology. Yes, we all know that. It is a means to an end. More specifically, 85% of those interviewed said that blockchain is in its infancy in the energy sector. And these are the people who have pilots, who who are pushing new business models. And most of the pilots, if not all, are not mature yet. And this was as of the end of 2018. We asked them, where will you be next year this time? And they said probably around the same time, around the same maturity. The overwhelming majority of the interviewees agreed that technological feasibility and scalability are temporary hurdles, that the market will overcome these with more testing and more research in the next couple of years. The caution that we heard throughout the interviews was about regulation and customer adoption. I think anyone in the energy sector would agree that the success of blockchain or any other technology is dependent, and specifically, let's just go to blockchain. The success of blockchain is very much dependent on a reframing of regulation and large-scale customer engagement. And when I'm referring to this reframing and large customer engagement, I'm referring to the transformative nature of blockchain, that peer-to-peer. That doesn't mean that blockchain cannot bring immediate optimization to the system. We think it can. The interviewees said that it can through asset traceability, through many behind-the-scene applications that blockchain can do now. The interviewees also had the open question of, can it really revolutionize the way residential customers receive and consume electricity? And this is the peer-to-peer issue of blockchain. The overall message from all the interviewees was that blockchain, with the right business model and with the right regulatory framework, blockchain's ability to make transactions faster, simpler, and cheaper can allow for wider participation into the energy market down to even the individual consumers. So that's what we learned from these interviews. It's too early, but it's not just hype. Maybe the hype is with P2P, but there's still very legitimate things that can happen, benefits that blockchain can bring today.
Scott, at the end of November last year on the Green Tech Media, the Interchange podcast, you also gave a good dose of reality on the state of blockchain in the energy industry. We're now in May 2019. So what's your take on the state of blockchain in the industry today?
In investigating blockchain, kind of went through the hype cycle and then the more real, the period of sort of reality setting in. But I think the original thing that drew me and some of the folks at Green Tech Media's research group to blockchain, I think those are all still true. Like the context for blockchain being a really important technology is still very true, in that we have a grid edge practice in our research division, and grid edge looks at the evolution of the distribution utility and the customer and that whole intersection of grid modernization and digitalization of the utility infrastructure and the customer and their evolution in wanting to take more control of their energy management and their energy services. And as we looked at that space, it went from sort of a couple steps of evolution from first just deploying of smart meters and an emphasis on sort of operational efficiency and reliability and maybe, you know, distributed generation integration. But there's a next step that was coming around, taking advantage of that distributed intelligence and starting to envision a whole new set of services like advanced demand response or virtual power plants, aggregating up distributed generation sites into kind of a virtual power plant that can bid into wholesale markets. There's a lot of creative things that were envisioned that came out of grid modernization and the whole digitalization of that ecosystem. And what we saw then was a series of obstacles in kind of taking those visions to reality around how do you make those secure? How do you transfer value among all those different distributed or decentralized participants? What's sort of the standardized method of communication among all those? And the excitement at the time was, wow, if you look at blockchain, its capabilities around security, decentralized platform, potentially standardized platform, and the ability to have kind of distributed programmability of value transfer so that the network can kind of have a mind of its own. So you can have this layer of applications on top that run. All of those things really do you know, did at the time and still do match the way the grid is evolving and the way the whole business models are evolving around the edge of the grid. And so that to me is still a critical context to think of all this in, that the way in which blockchain can enter the market is still very much there. It's still very welcoming to any solution that can achieve those features. I think what happened that was frustrating from those of us watching the technology evolve was that, and I think it's almost like the challenge with blockchain for me is that one of the earliest features of Ethereum in a way was that you could raise money, that you could do an ICO, that you could create a token and sell that outside the traditional fundraising mechanisms that most startups have to go through. And so because so many were able to raise money in a non-traditional way without going through traditional, you know, venture capital diligence and registering it as a security and all the standard ways that you raise money, that in a way was one of the worst features of blockchain, in that it brought so much money into obviously ill-conceived startups, ill-staffed, ill-founded, you know, you name it. There's a reason why venture capital has diligence, and the fact that these weren't using that meant that undoubtedly you would have too many startups promising too much too soon based on a very immature technology. And so you almost had to go through this hype cycle that crashed, which my guess is if it weren't for that ICO feature of blockchain, this would be going along at a nice steady pace. There would be some hype, but because traditional diligence would be applied, you would weed out a lot of this nonsense earlier in the process rather than getting them all funded, having investors lose money and get disillusioned with the space. So I think at least that's starting to wash out, and we're getting back to a place where the blockchain companies that do have real value to offer and are continuing to sort of refine their businesses and find the areas within the energy sector that make sense, we're definitely going to see them, if not them, at least those types of companies actually become more successful and learn from the pilots and proof of concepts that they're in right now. So unfortunately, all the things that you said at the beginning, in a way, everything's true at the same time. This is a really promising technology. This is an answer, I think, potentially, at least the features associated with blockchain, if not Ethereum, if not, you know, something that's out there right now, at least what it offers. It is an answer to a lot of what the energy industry is looking for, but it is totally, you know, justified to be cynical right now because of what happened with the ICO wave.
So I wonder if the hype is really that blockchain as a technology, as a standalone technology, or is the hype about blockchain's ability to give us P2P? And for me, I think the hype is really grown from this idea that soon we're going to have this P2P world. You know, there's so many regulatory and customer hurdles that you don't really see that coming to fruition anytime soon. And unfortunately, because of P2P, blockchain is kind of on that bandwagon of P2P hype.
Yeah, that's a good comment, because I think the P2P thing was the application set that captured people's imagination the most. It was the most creative use of blockchain, and it's probably the thing that would have gotten weeded out more in a traditional diligence-centric venture capital-driven ecosystem versus the ICO one. Because those are the ones that can really get like an individual excited. They want to participate in an ICO. They see that like, oh, this is going to be completely transformational of the industry and I want to get in early. And it almost breeds more hype then, because then any other potential startup says, that's the place where I can get the most excitement. And I think it builds on itself, and it does create a wave that maybe is to some extent distracting from some of the more traditional values blockchain can have.
If you look at the number of blockchain startups, I think by and large, most of them are in the P2P world and not the other use cases. And those other use cases are very legitimate use cases.
Right. Yeah. And actually, you know, the Energy Web Foundation that has from the Rocky Mountain Institute that's building sort of a blockchain platform for others to innovate on top of. The interesting thing there, since that's not really a startup driven, it's a nonprofit, it's not a startup driven ecosystem. In their case, they're finding the path that their utility partners and, you know, any of the members associated with that, that they're taking is from the very traditional, starting with like renewable energy certificate origination and retirement, that sort of end-to-end tracking of and management of that, and then slowly moving to more energy trading applications, and peer-to-peer is much farther down.
Now, I would give blockchain a lot of credit for forcing people to take a close look at its potential capabilities. And as a result, it's made them ask the what if questions on how could we design the grid for the future? How should energy markets evolve? My personal opinion is that blockchain's been a catalyst for driving a whole different set of conversations around the energy transition.
Yeah, I totally agree. That was definitely part of our observation. It's part of the excitement that it, like I said, it does have this ability around, you know, data, secure data sharing and value transfer that just has to be part of the energy transition. There's just no way, you know, that this energy economy is going to move forward unless there's more of that. There's a lot more data being generated out of endpoints in the energy market, and there's a lot more places where you can create markets. And whenever you create markets, you need some means of like price discovery and then, you know, the value transfer. And it does feel like blockchain at least signals that as a software kind of digital platform, it does have that ability. And I think that's where there is like a lot of really interesting creative thinking going on around that and work. And it's just going to be a matter of time, I think, before the right solutions actually do start having an impact.
Yeah, I would say that, you know, if even if there's too much hype and even if it doesn't get its, you know, see its potential, what blockchain has done, it has pushed the envelope and forced market players in this energy world where things move extremely slowly, innovation doesn't happen. It has pushed the envelope. It has forced innovation, and it's creating these new business models to further decentralize, to further decarbonize. So it has already done that. And that's one benefit of the hype of blockchain. But, you know, at the end of the day, we are still talking about energy, and people see energy not as a service, not as the next version of iPhone that they want to go get. They still just want to turn on their lights and have the light come on. So we need to, I think, as a society, once we make that transition mentally to move from seeing energy as a commodity to seeing energy as a service, I think that's when you're going to see blockchain just flourish.
When we do move to energy as a service, my guess is that most people really will not care what technology is under the covers. They don't care today about what technology powers their mobile phone networks and their smartphones. So why would they care what technology is powering their energy as a service?
Exactly. You don't want your average mom and pop to say, well, I'm using blockchain. I mean, the idea of blockchain is to introduce these smart contracts that basically on the back end does everything for you, as everything is automated for you. So I don't need to have my grandma understand what blockchain is or to be a peer-to-peer to be a prosumer. That is the benefit of blockchain.
Yeah, for sure. I think, you know, we had an interesting conversation about this. I do think it's necessary. It's actually useful for a while in any introduction of a new technology to actually say its name a lot, hype it. Because in a way you want hype. Like the positive outcome of hype to me is you get a lot of young engineers coming out of school, really excited about that technology, seeing a lot of opportunity and doing that creative thinking and, you know, making career choices around it, investing their time and becoming an expert in it. And so right now saying blockchain a lot has a positive side just to grow the whole blockchain ecosystem because there's a huge talent shortage right now. And just generally it's a very immature space. And so it's a good thing right now that blockchain is hype, but it's true. Once it gets going and once it becomes really commercialized into services, then the service doesn't need to say blockchain. And even currently right now, it's probably a negative to say it, but you want to have those features under the hood. And I think, you know, the other thing that I've been noticing and talking to some people about, and maybe this is just a matter of time, and I think it goes back to my original comment around because you could raise money on this so quickly, you know, as one of its initial features, it kind of leapfrogged that, you know, the more traditional phases of maturing before commercializing. And, you know, an interesting analogy that I've talked to people about is with the internet and the sort of rise of e-commerce and, you know, web-based services, there was actually a very long period, you know, 20 years or so of that, the internet protocols, you know, being created in R&D labs and in the military and being really ruggedized for distributed communications. And it wasn't until, you know, the early mid 90s, you know, after the internet itself had kind of lived for a good 20 years and had been, you know, highly standardized in many basic ways, before then, a lot of innovation and so the creation of that whole startup economy around the internet occurred. And I think that was actually super useful in the internet economy to have a very stable set of protocols underneath it that came out of, you know, the military and R&D and, you know, governments, where in this case, this came out of kind of the wonky world of cryptocurrency and Bitcoin, and then quickly got abstracted to just, you know, blockchain to use the basic toolkit to do these things with. And I think a lot of what the industry is grappling with right now is that they didn't inherit a nice, rugged, basic platform. They inherited a very immature, brand new platform that originally came to market for Bitcoin and now is being, you know, kind of decoupled from the currency part and applied here. And that does make for some challenging times as it grows up.
Agreed. Blockchain certainly has to grow up a bit more, but you got to admit that it's grown up pretty quickly. If you look at the pace of innovation across the various blockchains, the various groups out there, the companies that are using it, it's kind of hard to keep up. And, you know, blockchain, like many other technologies, yeah, they come to market, they're pretty immature, there's a lot of hype. But if you look at, you know, the latest buzzword, artificial intelligence, or if you look at people using drones and digital twins and augmented reality, or, you know, pick your latest and greatest topic, are they not all the same today, that there's this incredible hype cycle and everybody rushes in and then try and figure out what it does and what it doesn't do?
Almost all new technologies these days, are the expectation is that they're adopted almost overnight. But this one, I think, stands out in how immature the technology was and how immediately it was presented as commercial ready and wrapped in the wrapper of a startup that was, you know, offering a not just a roadmap, but already presenting itself as something that could go to market.
Now, when I look at any report out there on the use cases people are putting blockchain to in energy, peer-to-peer normally pops up as being the top one in most reports, with 25-30% of the use cases or startups focused on peer-to-peer. Now, I personally don't believe that peer-to-peer will happen in the next 24 months. There's a lot of things that happen, and it's not about the technology, it's everything you've mentioned already. But there are other use cases that are gaining traction. So what ones are you guys keeping an eye on right now?
Well, I think based on the interviews and the report, there's about 7 different models that blockchain-enabled use cases that we featured. And you're right, it's not just P2P, although P2P is a large portion, but you have emission trading systems enabled by blockchain, e-mobility, flexible trading platforms, asset traceability, which I think is huge for the utility sector. And in my view, I think what you will see in the next 12 months or so is companies like Electron, which is a UK-based startup that's working on bringing a digitized energy marketplace so that behind-the-meter distributed energy resources that are too small to count right now by the TSO can be counted. You have companies like Singapore Power that we looked at. They already have a renewable energy platform that is active currently. Electron's digitized energy marketplace will be up and running in the next 12 months. So these are, to me, areas that are optimizing the existing electricity grid, that I think now, once the hype is you know, somewhat stabilized, these are the areas that will see the benefit of blockchain-enabled technology, and the benefit, consumers will see the benefit in these areas more.
I actually don't see a lot of great opportunities out there for peer-to-peer yet, but what excites me is sort of that next step in. So if you assume there's a lot more distributed generation, and then the key being a lot more distributed energy storage, either behind the meter or at least in the distribution grid, so that there is both generation and the ability to store and dispatch on command. Like once you have that, you don't necessarily need to jump all the way to peer-to-peer, because that is a regulatory challenge in almost every market. And it's not even 100% clear that that is a value in and of itself. I think it's like a psychological value, but I'm not 100% sure peer-to-peer really is like a better energy system. But I do think if you look at like one layer in, where this notion that blockchain can help with the orchestration of all of those distributed resources, either into virtual power plants or just aggregated demand, so you have dispatchable demand instead of just dispatchable supply. It's this whole notion of the complexity of what that grid edge looks like in the near future. There's a lot of orchestration, a lot of opportunity to just evolve the business models that even currently exist without having to really break them by going to pure peer-to-peer that's outside the utility regulatory compact. That, like Electron, there are definitely some that are focused on that now, and others that are getting there, where there is the possibility to just really optimize the distribution grid and the distribution utility, that operation with blockchain in a way that either lowers prices, creates new opportunities for new businesses to take advantage of that, or improves reliability, or just even improves the utilization of the existing distributed energy resources. That to me would be a huge value of blockchain, is just what you have out there, so you never waste any renewable energy. It's utilized at the right time and gets paid the right value for it because of blockchain. That would be a vast improvement over where we are today.
Let me just also say that I think actually P2P could be doing a disservice to advancement of blockchain and energy. I think maybe peer to market, P2M, could be something that's more viable and more realistic right now. Because if you think of P2P, I mean, just the sheer regulatory reframing of this is extremely enormous. You have to redefine these terms, the consumer, the prosumer. Regulators have to, rethink regulation as a whole. That's a huge task. And even if that's done, then you're talking about the customer. How are you going to get customers to adopt this? You'll have early adopters, but these are, customer engagement and regulation, they're huge hurdles for P2P, not for blockchain, certainly not for blockchain, but for P2P. I think P2M should be maybe a stepping stone for P2P.
Yeah, there's some other things I think about with P2P that are add the challenge of, like, when you go all the way out to touch an individual consumer, then it brings up like data privacy issues, GDPR compliance, cybersecurity that reaches a home versus a more guarded network. That's where I think it's the hype around P2P just sort of ignores all of those realities, where I think when you think about, or when you conceive of blockchain more inside a network, riding on the distribution grid, but with some clear demarcations, and probably a permissioned blockchain network managing that rather than the public blockchain, you have a much clearer sense of how that can add value and sort of maintain value and not run into just all these other either regulatory or even just consumer behavior issues that bringing blockchain all the way out to a customer premise can occasion. So that's where I stay focused on how can it be part of grid modernization and the grid edge ecosystem, and not so much transforming an individual's relationship to energy, at least now.
Is there any other topic in relation to blockchain in the energy industry that you want to mention?
I think what's missing in the blockchain hype or blockchain hope, whatever you want to call it, is a discussion about existing energy infrastructure. Because presumably blockchain technology will, you know, enable new business models that will further decentralize the energy sector. I mean, that's the hope. This will open new opportunities to also further decarbonize the energy industry. So once this happens, once we continue in this decarbonization trajectory, what do we do with existing energy infrastructure that has been around for over a century to not only produce, but to deliver and to consume fossil fuels? So, and what about the need for new infrastructure? Those, I think the infrastructure piece is missing in any sort of energy policy, energy, new business models. We talk about cleaning the supply side, but we don't talk about what do we do with the infrastructure, because there's a lot of cost associated with that. And I think if we can have that discussion at some point, whether it's with blockchain or whether it's decarbonization, I think it's an important discussion to have.
That we, I think we touched on just for a second, but that is an application that gets more and more discussion lately is, and even some trials out there, is the blockchain for as a solution for the rise of EVs and EV charging, and giving your EV kind of a single digital identity so it can have, in a way, charging roaming capabilities where you could and even there's a few instances where in California where there's any incentive associated with charging, there's a way to take advantage of that via blockchain, and because it simplifies the administration and accounting of things like that. So I think, again, not as revolutionary, but it is something where as the EVs become more and more common, charging infrastructure becomes more complex to manage, and blockchain can be one way to, you know, to improve the management of that.
The whole rollout of electric vehicles and electric charging is certainly something to keep an eye on. You know, that's happening today. Utilities, energy companies can't ignore it. So it will be interesting to see the technology that's going to be rolled out, and it's all new infrastructure. So blockchain could well play a role there. So that's a good one to keep an eye on in the next. Now, it's been fascinating to watch the development of blockchain in the energy sector over the past 2 years. And yeah, the hype has died down, thankfully. The ICO bubble has gone away, and people are starting to use blockchain where it makes sense. They're not just using it for the sake of using it. And there's still an awful lot of maturing of the technology. But you have to hand it to folks like the Energy Web Foundation and many other folks out there. They are innovating. They're coming up with technical solutions to some of the challenges that are there around blockchain and deploying blockchain at scale. But where do you think we'll be in 12 months' time?
Yeah, that's a tough one. 12 months is a long time in blockchain years, but it's not a long time in the electricity system years. I mean, I think in a year's time, you would definitely see, I would say more utilities moving from just proof of concept to actual pilots. So where they're comfortable enough to put it out and, you know, have it interact with customers or, you know, their own networks in a more real way, not in a kind of islanded or isolated way. So I think you'd start to see, we should see some of the results of that. There's already a few of those, the indication of those going on here in the US and in Europe. And so probably more of that. My guess is more RECs will be tied to a blockchain than there were this year. And I think that grid edge orchestration idea, I think we're going to see more of that. So, you know, price discovery and sort of orchestration among distributed energy resources, you know, utilities really starting to play with that to take take demand response or some of those services that they currently have, take those to the next level.
Yeah, I agree completely. I think, you know, we're pretty much going to be in the same place with the exception of, maybe, you know, the electrons of the world who are going to, we have to wait and see if their pilots are going to be made public and be utilized. But I think the distributed energy resources and looking at behind the meters, enabling blockchain having blockchain enable more distributed energy resources into the TSO's hands, that I think that's what we're going to see in the next 12 months or so.
Well, as Scott said, 12 months in the world of blockchain is a lifetime, but 12 months in the energy industry is only a drop in the ocean. Things don't happen that fast. But it will be fascinating to see if the pace of change in the energy system keeps accelerating. You know, if you look back at the 5 years ago, some of the things that have happened today with electric vehicles, decentralization, the deployment of renewables, storage in the grid, you know, if we were having this conversation 5 years ago, we probably wouldn't have seen a lot of these things. So when it comes to blockchain, let's see. It'll certainly be an interesting 12 months. And with that, I'd like to thank Marzia and Scott for joining us today and sharing their insights. Thanks a lot, folks.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kevin. It was great. Thanks for having us on.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Energy Singularity. Please do give us a review, subscribe to receive future episodes, and please do join the conversation and share your own thoughts with us via social media. You can find details on all our social media accounts in the show notes. And we look forward to meeting you all at the Event Horizon Summit this June in Berlin.